go. Yo, 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 it's your boy Sean Puff. I'm here with Travis Moody today. And this is a Smark Side review. We've got a great one for you today. I'm here with the captain of the Ringside Apostles, Travis Moody. Great to have you here. Man, I know you guys, if you guys listen to Smart Spot Monkeys and Super Kicks, you hear me talking about God Hates Geeks all the time. You know I write over there. I talk about Travis. Well, Travis is here with us today. We just finished watching Double or Nothing. It was a great show. He's all the way out there on the left coast. I'm out here in Boston, and we're going to run this down for you and break it down. Travis, man, great to have you here today.
What's up, dude? So this is like a New Bedford connection worldwide right here.
I'm saying, right?
So, and it's also, yeah, the smart cast meets Ringside Apostles and God Hates Geeks. So we're putting all the programs together today. So let's do it.
Absolutely. Before we get into everything, though, I want to touch on everything that's been going on. May has just overall been a horrible wrestling month in history, especially with what just happened coming into today. So I want to let you talk about that real quick, not to bring everybody down, but kind of just get this out of the way, and then we'll get into the
We promised a fun show because we just got finished watching AEW Double or Nothing, and man, that Stadium Stampede match was what we needed. It was exactly what we needed. So that's a little spoiler for what we're going to talk about. But yeah, we have to address the world of professional wrestling this past week. Have we seen anything like that in a long time? And it's almost like everyone's talking about the dark side of the ring, and we're living it right now. I mean, forget COVID-19. Like, that didn't even really – I mean, it did in a way – impact some of the things that happened this week, but we had three major deaths in professional wrestling, and we also celebrated the life of Owen Hart because he was the subject of Dark Side of the Ring this week, and it's a hot documentary on Vice right now. And I know Martha Hart's doing her interviews right now, so you know, she was on Talk is Jericho, and she was also on the Wrestling Observers talking about Owen and everything that went down. So if that's, you know, that's one thing to kind of keep you down, because Owen was one of my favorites, you know, like everyone loved that dude. He was like the underdog. He was the guy like you wanted to see hit that next level. And he would have given the time in his life if that tragedy didn't happen. And, so that enough was to keep us down, and then we just lose three people important to the business, or people who made an impact in the business this week. So I don't know how you feel, Sean, but it's been rough, dude.
It's crazy. Especially last night
was the gut punch.
Yeah, yeah, and even to go a little more into that, if you look historically, this week's also the same week that Davey Boy passed away, and it's also the same week that Ashley Massaro passed away.
Wow. Wow. Unbelievable, dude.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I forgot to put my phone on mute. But, all right. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, let's start from the beginning. Shad Gaspard, man, Crime Time. He played that villain, the Big Thug on TV, but he was the complete opposite. I mean, he had the size, the muscles. He's 6'6", 6'7". Big dude. I had the pleasure of meeting him once at the Happy Ending Bar in Hollywood. It used to be called that. I worked there for a couple years, and we had a mutual friend who was another bouncer there, and who was right in the wrestling world, introduced me, because Shad hung out in Hollywood. He was an aspiring actor, as you've probably heard lately. That's what he was focusing on. And he'd make a couple cameos here and there when the Legends came out and Crime Time was getting the call from Vince and whatever, but he kind of did a couple indie spots and whatever, and he would do his podcast and stuff because he had a wonderful personality. But he was a family man who was just trying to make a Hollywood move. You know, he was working on Pinfall, which is, I hope it sees the light of day. I mean, I hope the screenplay he was working on, even if it was real rough, if it has a basic story and it's about Shad's life, it would be cool if someone, another writer could take that on. Yeah. Wrestling's real hot right now. I mean, not for these reasons, you know, the deaths and everything, but it's a hot topic right now with everyone because of Dark Side of the Ring, just for the entertainment value. So if he had a pretty cool story, I'd love to see Shad's vision come to life.
Yeah, absolutely. It was crazy for me to see because I've never met him. And you know what I mean? And I just know what I've seen from him on TV. And just to see the way that the wrestling world reacted, you know, we've seen people pass away watching wrestling for years. Mm-hmm. And it's very rare that you see the reaction that you got from the entire wrestling community when he passed away.
Definitely.
Weirdly enough, it was similar to what happened when Owen passed away, where everybody was in tears and upset about it. And that tells me that this guy was a great guy to have so many people. To have Chris Masters go down there and say, I'm getting my own boat and we're going to go find him. Like, that tells me this guy was a different type of individual.
No, absolutely. Yeah, just a family man, a good person, and those are the worst people to see go. You know, mm-hmm. know what I mean? So the second one, real quick, one of the reasons I love doing this, beyond Meltzer and the stars, you know, of course I know Meltzer from PWG and hitting Japan and everything. I got to be friendly with him. But one of the other guys I looked up to the last couple years as I was, you know, being pretty prolific with the Ringside Apostle reviews, but I could never, ever, ever touch Larry Sanka. And we're not talking about the American Gladiator.
That's
host.
Who I thought it was at first.
The fullback of the Miami Dolphins, the legendary football player. He told Meltzer that he was a distant relative, and then they just named him after Larry, who's a big legend. You know, maybe they were Dolphins fans, his parents or whatever, growing up. But, yeah, I don't know. He had a lot of health issues. He was a writer for 411 Mania, and he had the most on-point reviews. I mean, this dude was – I mean, maybe because of his health issues, he had the time. I know he was also a father of some young children, which is really sad. Same thing with Shad, but he probably had a lot more – you know, being having health issues, he had a lot of time to watch a lot of wrestling. And, man, I can't appreciate the stuff he did enough, man. Like, he was reviewing MLW every week, ROH, like – he was just reviewing everything. I mean, he would even review 205 Live. Like, and he would write, like, essays for each match. Like, yeah. I started writing a lot because before I used to do the scores because of Meltzer and then maybe write, like, a line. And I started writing, like, all the moves. When you read my reviews and you saw all the moves and the spots, that came from him, like, that idea. So when I started watching, like, PWG, and I was the first person, of course, because I'm at PWG, I can immediately come home without having to wait for the Blu-ray and all that. And, like, very few people were able to cover that. I know SoCal Uncensored and a couple other sites, Last Word on Pro Wrestling, would review PWG. But, man, I used to really pay attention to, like, even if I was drunk and shit, pay attention to, like, the moves and the spots because I wanted to do what Larry was doing. You know, like, the stars, how many stars, the Bibles, like, that's – a thing on Meltzer. I mean, Meltzer's the GOAT, but when it came to just being prolific and hitting, getting home and writing that review, like, nobody was on it like Larry. Like, I mean, dude, I could refresh, like, WrestleMania review, like, it would be 15 minutes after the review and it'd be a book, bro. Like, this dude was writing the book while, like, I wrote all my reviews. I wrote all my reviews after, like, because I used to watch pay-per-views and then I used to have to go to work, like, as a doorman. So I would on my phone be writing the review, but I would be looking at Larry's. Like, I wouldn't take his, like, ideas or his – but I would definitely, you know, we had differences in opinion, but I would definitely take it to consideration. But, yeah, shout out to Larry Zonka. Like, it's unheralded because he's not a big wrestler or anything. He was a journalist for a website, but he was definitely integral in what we do at the Ringside Apostles with our deep reviews. And, of course, you've carried on that legacy. You know what I mean? I've been real busy with running the ship under the quarantine, and you've been able to handle the Ringside Apostles almost single-handedly. You know, shout out to Sean Farrell, the Sean and Sean Show, but he's an essential worker. He's real busy right now. So it's great to have you take on all the reviews, and it's awesome to be on this show and be able to share our match opinions too. So this is a lot of fun for me. It's almost like a passing of the torch, but we're meeting right now. So,
right.
Dude, your reviews have been killing it. I don't even want to review anymore, bro. I hung it up. Like, writing wise, like I'm done reviewing wrestling. Like I just want to read your shit now and edit it and read it. Well, like I love that.
That's awesome to hear. I like when I write and people like it. Like it just.
Yeah. Yeah. The new GM of Raw.
Player.
All right. So we needed some laughs because now this is the gut punch. This is the rough part.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna go on forever, Sean. Do you wanna say anything first?
No, go ahead. You say your part because I want to say my thoughts on it. I know you read some of them in our chat, but I kind of want to put out my thoughts on this because this whole situation is just crazy to me.
Yeah, but let's be careful. Let's.
Absolutely.
Some of that stuff, man. You know, let's be careful. All right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be too preachy and stuff and go on to another tangent. I mean, we could easily talk about what happened this weekend, last night, whenever, for the next hour. But we want to talk professional wrestling because that's what Shad, Larry, and Hana would want. But, yeah, we're talking Hana Kimura. Had the pleasure of meeting her. I never imagined meeting her. I mean, even in being in Japan. And I was out on a date, of course. I'm like the hottest female in Japan. I was ready to go to the Ota City gym for a New Japan show. And I was just at a ramen shop. And this girl, Fujiko, we met, real cool girl, was like, oh, yeah, let's go to this little ramen shop. And we go in and we're like, all right, you want to eat here? Cool. And we sit down. And it's like Jungle Kiana and – like, I don't even know who else, but, oh, Konami. And then I'm like, oh, and Hana's here. Like, they don't even care. They're just out. They're not hiding. They're like, they were just going to be fans at the New Japan show. It was the Liger retirement show. It was okay. The last night of Liger. It was New Year's Dash, actually. It was New Year's Dash.
So this was like right before the show. They were just out getting food like you guys were.
Yep, just like we were, like a half hour before the show, maybe an hour before the show, just – right down the street from the venue. We were just looking to get some grub and they were there and for the most part left them alone. And then I was like, all right, I have to say something. But yeah, I didn't take like pictures or ask them for all that because they do that 24, they do that. They get paid to do that. Like that's,
yep.
You know what I mean? But yeah, you know, we made short talk, but she was really friendly, really cool. I mean, their Japanese is their first language. So then you're not going to have deep conversations or anything, but she was joking around with Fuji too and me. So she was really nice. Really nice. Like, cause you look at her and you're like, oh, she's, you know, you kind of probably have an opinion like she's stuck up or a snob, but couldn't be further.
You can't judge a book by its cover.
That's no, I mean, you just look at, you know? Shad, right? He's the opposite. And Hana certainly was, as you could see in the community, total sweetheart. And yeah, I had the pleasure also, just to wrap this up, the day before I flew out from Japan, I was in Osaka and I got to see Stardom. Really, that was an adventure to go to like an 11 a.m. show. And yeah, I got she was in the main event in a six-man tag and took plenty of pictures. And it was great to see her live. I didn't do the meet and greet or anything like that, but yeah, it was just that I'm always going to remember that. You know, she put on a pretty good show. It was fun. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just way too young. It's just the worst.
22 years old, man. That's crazy to me. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, man. It's just like – it's just nuts. It's like, man, I don't even know. I don't know what else to say, bro. It's just horrible.
I'm not going to get too preachy. I'm not going to throw out everything. I'm going to save some of that for Smart Spot Monkeys and Super Kicks next week because we're going to have a discussion on this whole thing. But here's what I'm gonna say. People need to realize that, yeah, we see them on TV, yeah, the TV personalities, but like you just pointed out, they're human beings just like me and you. It's the same thing. And you got to think about it. I razz people and I get on things, but you have to know where the line is and understand that these are human beings. And I'll say this much. Not everybody has good coping mechanisms to deal with some of the junk that's getting thrown at them on Twitter. And people don't think about it because they don't even think, how would I take it if it was me being said that someone was saying it to? They just put it out there on Twitter, type it, it's out there, and it doesn't matter. So, you know, we just have to be more mindful of that, man. That's what it comes down to. Just think about how would you feel if it was said to you? How would you feel if it was said to your little sister or to your mother? Think about those things when you're out there trolling people and razzing people and saying crazy stuff, because guess what? Not everybody can take it. And it's sad that we had a 22-year-old girl who, as tough as she was, as great of an athlete as she wasn't built for that. And she didn't have those proper coping mechanisms. And now she's not here. And no one has the opportunity to be like, oh, my bad, let me take that back. Because she's gone now. And, you know, that we have to be more mindful just as people.
Don't be a dick, people. That's it. You know? Don't be a dick. Make jokes with your friends. Give them shit, or like people in your like little online community, like rib them a little bit. We always do that. It's what we do, but don't get personal with people.
Listen, you know what? Even sometimes I'm bad. You know, I had my incident where I tweeted out something about Mayu Iwatani not deserving to be the Ring of Honor Women's Champion because she looked horrible. No, it wasn't Mayu Iwatani. Who is the Ring of Honor Women's Champion? Sumi Sakai.
Sumi, yeah, because I was going to say Miwa is awesome.
Sumi Sakai, I said she is, you know, she looks like an old woman, just how she moves around in the ring, and she doesn't deserve to be women's champion. And then what's her name tweeted out to me about it. What the hell is her name? The queen. The queen there. She's in Impact now.
Bea Priest. Oh. I was going to say, Bea Priestley's...
No, from the Beautiful People.
Oh, okay.
I can't even think of her name right now.
The same person who got in that incident with Josh, who got bullied by Bully Bray, that woman?
No, that's Velvet Sky.
Oh, all right.
No, I'm talking about...
Let's move on.
We'll just get on to the...
Let's talk Double or Nothing. R.I.P. Shad, R.I.P. Larry, R.I.P. Hana, we love you. And come on, let's get together, wrestling community. Like, we had a great show tonight. Let's support each other. If you hate WWE, just let it go. If you hate AEW, let it go. Just have fun with your friends. But let's get together. Like, with the wrestling, especially out in Japan, they're struggling right now, like, without their TV, man. I'm telling you, like, let's just be solid. Like,
they've lost a lot of people, not even just to death. They've lost a lot of top stars having to retire this year out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Stardom just is losing all kind of people from retirement for different reasons. So they're really hurting right now. It's a rough thing. But a company that isn't hurting though had a pretty good show tonight. Started off pretty rocky, but you want to talk Double or Nothing now, like liven up the mood?
Yeah, we'll just get right into Double or Nothing and start breaking down this show. I was looking forward to the show all week long, especially today when everyone was just so down. I'm in a bunch of chat groups and like everybody was just down today over everything. So we needed this pickup. Everyone was looking forward to it. I mean, I know people will log it on, try to sign in at 7 o'clock to watch it. And they're like, wait, what do you mean it's not till 7:30? Like, the excitement was there, the readiness for this. Yeah. And they started out by bringing us excitement right from the rip. So we get on the buy-in, we get Best Friends versus Private Party, number one contenders for the tag titles. I thought that this match was kind of it was an easy pick. You knew who was gonna win. Just if you're paying attention to what's going on in AEW, I think it makes sense for Best Friends to win. I even said it on the Smarks podcast. This leading to that culmination of whatever's going on with Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. It's gonna culminate in their match with the Best Friends. It's just fitting that when they finally explode and whatever happens, it happens with those four men in the ring together. So I think it was kind of given that that's what was going to happen. Private Party, always good to watch. Those guys just high flying, flipping around the ring.
Yeah.
So they're it was improving. A good way just they're to improving. Get people excited and going to, yeah. to start off the show.
Yep. Private Party looked good tonight. They were on it. They didn't make too many botches or mistakes because they do a lot of wild shit. So you're going to make botches. Yeah. You know, everyone does, like the Bucks, you know, everyone, the Golden Lovers, everybody everybody does mistakes when you're going for crazy moves, but they look real crisp. It was a quick, you know, it wasn't like a super, they didn't really give it a whole lot of time despite being a buy-in.
15 minutes and 10 seconds. So
it did?
Yeah. 15 minutes. It didn't seem all right. Like
well,
it.
That's a good amount of time, but yeah, it was a pretty good match. Felt like it, I don't know, maybe there weren't enough near falls at the end or whatever to feel like a real serious contenders match, but yeah, it was a good that definitely, you know, sometimes predictable booking is way to go if it makes sense in the storyline. And no team has been hotter than Best Friends. They've been featured throughout the whole pandemic. They've been there every week. Orange Cassidy has been helping their stature a bit because he's a you know, a cultural icon right now, kind of like a cult hero. So yeah, Best Friends have looked amazing, even in their singles matches. They've been getting featured every week. The other teams have, you know, the Bucks haven't been around, and they had that feud on BTE. Lucha Bros, of course, being in Mexico, we finally saw Phoenix last week, but he was in singles action. So yeah, I mean, the go-to team was definitely Best Friends, and the right team won. So
what's your Bible score on this one?
Oh, you're going to hit me with the Bible scores, huh? All right, cool. You know, it was good. Not great or anything. I'll go 3.25. It was a good match, good. It's like a really good pre-show match in WWE, you know what I mean? Yeah, like
probably better than any of the pre-show matches we've seen in the past 4 pay-per-views coming from the WWE, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't watched them. So.
I have, and you've read my reviews. So.
Okay. So I'll go 3.25 though, but it was good. Good way to start. Like, good way to get us ready for sure. A lot of good action. So I like
absolutely, it. Absolutely. Then next up we had the casino ladder match, which we had Darby Allin, Colt Cabana, Orange Cassidy, Joey Janela, Scorpio Sky, Kip Sabian, Frankie Kazarian, Luchasaurus, and then the mystery guy. There was so much talk about who this mystery guy was going to be.
Who'd you think?
I thought it was going to be Brian Cage from the start.
Really? You're an Impact guy. So.
Well, because Jeff Cobb was supposed to be Brian Cage, but they had issues with the contracts and getting everything ready when they brought in Jeff Cobb.
Oh.
Okay. So I knew that they've been working on bringing Brian Cage in for a long time. So I figured, what better way to bring him in than into this match where it doesn't really seem like anybody in it really deserves to get that title shot. So I figured,
yeah, he's not taking anyone's, like, yeah, he's not jumping on anyone's spot because no one really stood out from the pack. Like, it was a who's who.
Exactly. So. And I felt like whoever they bring in was going to win this, and it had to be someone who's going to make some type of impact. So who else are you going to bring in? Drew Gulak, maybe, because he was off of his contract. Pretty much everybody else out of WWE is still under 90 days.
Right, yeah.
So you couldn't bring any of them in. So.
Drew would have been too soon. It was way too fast.
I mean, and rumor and innuendo is that Drew is still trying to just work out something with the WWE. Because he didn't get cut. His contract ran out, and they couldn't come to an agreement. So rumor is his agent is trying to work something out still. So yeah, didn't see it being him. Brian Cage just made sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, I was still surprised.
So. Oh, I was surprised. I was surprised that he came out with Taz. I was surprised on that. Because
that was cool.
Played the whole thing off of Taz trying to bring Darby Allin into his fold. And instead it ends up being Brian Cage. So I was...
I like that. Yeah, because he was giving him criticism every week. So now we know we're going to see Brian and Darby. That's going to be a hell of a match.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to be crazy. That's going to be a crazy match. That's going to be sick. So. I'm hoping that Darby wasn't hurt too bad.
Yeah, that was
a crazy... his knee up on that spot.
You know why he did that spot, right? Because they're remastering Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. So he's like, all right, my turn.
Okay. But I mean, this was a good match. I was very impressed with everything I saw in this one. Even guys, I don't like Luchasaurus. Like, not a fan of him in the slightest bit. I didn't need to see Marco Stunt out there. I can't stand Marco Stunt.
So that was my problem. You already got like 7 people in the match, and a mystery guy, and they kept throwing other people in there.
It didn't need to be there.
No, you already got the Royal Rumble set up. Which is different from the Money in the Bank. So they tried, you know, they're playing on the whole Double or Nothing Vegas theme, which they love to do. And they every time they have a pay-per-view, that follows up. They try to keep it themed, you know what I mean? Which is appreciated when you're building a new brand. So, you know, Double or Nothing next year is going to have some kind of funky match too that's similar to that. So I like that, but you don't need to toss in all the managers or other sidekick wrestlers. Like, it ended up being too much of a clusterfuck. That said, the action was hot and heavy. There was a million memorable spots. Everybody worked their ass off, but it didn't hit that next level for me because of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because there's too much other stuff going on that took away from what was actually happening.
Yeah. It's overbooking. You know what I mean? That's all it is. So, I mean, the match is already way overbooked on paper as it is in the rules. Like, which is fine.
I mean, did anyone think that the match was going to end before everybody got in the ring, by the way? Because they built up, oh, this match could end before the last guy comes in. If someone gets the chip before the last guy enters, it's not going to happen.
I guess it didn't sound that bad because it wasn't Michael Cole repeatedly saying it over and over.
You're right.
So
you're right.
AEW gets away with shit because of their delivery. Like, sometimes AEW does almost what WWE does, but they just present it and execute it differently. You know what I mean? So it doesn't come off like so corporate, forced. I guess. Yeah, force, which is corporate. You know what I mean? Like, they are so edgy in a way, even which is what WWE fans are like, oh, so edgy, hipster, like, but it's like not flat white bread delivery. So even if they're giving you almost what WWE is doing, they're just being a little like, they give it a little more oomph about it. They like give it that extra thought. Like in the business meeting, there's five more minutes to make it the way AEW is. You know what I mean? Like, they check all their what is it? They dot their I's and they cross their T's.
Well, you know why they have the extra 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the elevator in Titan Towers takes forever to get upstairs.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna say like they're not doing what WWE is doing. Like, a lot of times it's the same. It's wrestling. It's pro wrestling. But
yeah, there's only so many things you can do. You can't you can't reinvent the wheel.
Right. I just think they deliver stuff as fans of wrestling. They're not delivering it as like corporate businessmen.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that completely.
Yeah. But anyway, it was a good opener though to the pay-per-view. Not mind-blowing, but solid. Yeah.
And would you give this one for a Bible score?
Oh, 3.5. Yeah, just because, you know, it was a mess, but it was a lovely mess. Like, there was so many – I'm not going to take away from all the awesome spots that we had in the match. Like, Joey Janela was crazy. That DVD he did on the Death Valley Driver right on that Double or Nothing chip was cool.
He's amazing. Like, off the apron. For me, he looks horribly out of shape right now. But the guy can go.
Right now or always?
All right, maybe always, but I think more so now because he's unable to be kept because, you know, gyms aren't open, people can't get haircuts.
Oh,
just,
yeah, look.
Kind of just looks a little more raggedy than he normally does right now.
Yep.
But, I mean, he goes out there and he puts in 125%, so I can't complain.
Nah, he was a perfect addition. So when they lost Phoenix, it was like, okay, they lost like a superior athlete, but they got a guy better suited for the match.
Yeah,
just because of all the crazy rules and weapons. Like, this was – Janela should have been booked on this anyway. You know what I mean? So he pretty much – Darby had that huge spot. Brian Cage was dominant. Him and Luchasaurus together, that'll be fun. Whether you like either one of the guys, it's two guys that can really move for their size, like regardless of what you think of them personally. They're both athletic, so that'll be a good matchup. That was a good tease. They tease a lot of AEW does that too. If they have a multi-person match, they'll tease like five matches in that one match. So they definitely think about. They don't just throw the guys out there and say, "Hey, go work and hit your spots." Like, they definitely set things up, and that's a lot of stuff that we might miss when we catch the big spots. Like, we're missing the little stories, details that they're pushing for a Dynamite in the future. So. But yeah, 3.5, 3.5. Solid, very good, very good match.
And then from there we went on and we got MJF with Wardlow in his corner taking on Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Mm. I like this kid. Like, I don't like Luchasaurus, I don't like Marco Stunt, but I love Jungle Boy. This kid is just amazing. Like, I love watching him in the ring. At first, I thought he had a chance of beating MJF, but then I realized MJF hasn't lost, and it didn't really do any. There was no reason for him to beat MJF here. But this kid is an up and comer. He's got a bright future ahead of him.
Yep.
Anyone who 100%. Says he doesn't is just hating, and that's coming from someone who you hear me all the time. I complain about flippy stuff and vanilla midgets. Jungle Boy Jack Perry is not a vanilla midget. This kid can go, and he might be small, but he's going to make an impact in this business. Mark my words on that.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, he's so strong for his size. I don't even think of any, you know, he's so durable. I mean, I don't even think of his size at all, like, or the name Boy. Like, he just does this thing, and I'm like, this dude's nasty. And has anybody been more improved in the ring than MJF too? I mean, him and Jungle Boy are like, they're the two bright stars, like throwing Darby, who's a little older too. But I mean, as far as young guys in their early 20s, this is the future of All Elite Wrestling, and they're in good shape.
The like, future of the business. Maybe not just All Elite Wrestling. Like, these are two guys that I see being around a long time, whether they stay in AEW or go wherever they go. These two guys are going to shine. They're going to have an incredible future in this business.
Yeah.
This was my favorite match of the night right here. This match was amazing.
It was up there. Yeah, it was definitely in my top three or four of the night. It was great. Like, they hit certain spots that I didn't expect, and they're both so improved. MJF always had the mouth. I mean, I used to see him in AAW, mm-hmm. you know, over in Chicago. And I'd watch it, and it'd be like, none of his matches were more than like 3 stars, but I liked him as a personality. But now he surprises me. He's worked his ass off. It's so easy to just like, you get the money and you know, of course his character is the big headed character, but he's, you know, this guy's been working, you know.
Yeah.
He's been working, and yeah, Jungle Boy has improved, like, just from seeing him in PWG from the first time all the way to that Bola match against Jake Atlas. Like no one improved more through that time in PWG, just those 6 months or 8 months or whatever it was that I saw him over in PWG, and man, he's improved so fast. Like, I, you know, they said, oh, he's the future, but he's already one of the best they have too. So, yeah, this was a great match. Yeah.
I hope we get to see Jungle Boy with a title at sometime in the nearer future in AEW.
Well, I think that's why they have the TNT Championship. So now we can have, it's a mid-card title probably, but there's so many great mid-card wrestlers in AEW that the title has a chance to be like an intercontinental championship back in the old, like the early 90s and late 80s of WWF. You know what I mean? Like, when that title mattered, you know, when Honky Tonk and Ultimate Warrior and Tito Santana had it and actually meant something.
Randy Savage, Ricky the Dragon, Steamboat.
Yeah, we can go on and on. Mr. Perfect, of course, was the best. So, but then, yeah, I mean, this has a chance to be that title just because the people going for it are already, you know what I mean? So front of the line. So I hope they treat it a little bit better than the IWGP United States title. Cause that game was like, okay, hey, it's Kenny Omega and has it. And he wrestled Jay Lethal. It's all right. Two of the best in the business. And then now, I mean, what is it? You know what I mean? So
I don't even know who the champion is right now.
I couldn't tell you. So, all right. So yeah, I don't know.
What'd your Bible school for this one?
Yeah, it was a step up. It seemed like the pay-per-view was getting better as it was. And, 3.75. I was like, okay, we're off to it started fine, and now we're really hitting it, you know? So.
Yeah, and I think they did a good job with it. Although, like I said, this is probably my favorite match of the night. So I would have liked to see it later in the match. But I think it was really – they got us going with those first two matches, got people excited, and then just, like, really hit us with one. It was like, all right, here you go, boom. Now you ready? Like.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And then we went on to, speaking of the TNT Championship, the TNT Championship was next on the line. We see Mike Tyson come out with that horrible-looking belt that apparently isn't finished.
It's not done. They didn't add gold plating to it yet because of the pandemic. Whoever, you know, who's working on the titles is, you know, probably under quarantine and not able to get to a shop. So, that's whatever. It's not a big deal to me.
Yes, I mean, whatever. It'll look better when it's done, and it'll get another presentation. Maybe it'll be when it goes to somebody else. We'll see what happens. This match was a good one, too. I enjoyed this. I had some problems with my stream during this match. But I knew everyone was going to get involved. You had to have Arn Anderson get involved. You had to have Jake get involved. I'm surprised Mike Tyson didn't knock one of them out. I really thought
that was the biggest disappointment of the match.
That he didn't do anything.
They teased that Tyson was going to knock someone out, and I was almost sure that he was going to like join Jake the Snake's crew or something. Like, you know, like, because Cody is nuts. I mean, Cody's risked his life for this company several times.
Yeah.
He gives zero fucks. That's why he has that ugly ass tattoo on his neck, basically to say, I will die tonight for this sport. That's what it is. It's like, I don't give a fuck. That's what that ugly thing is. It's not like this looks good. He knows it looks like shit. He's just letting you know, I'm the fucking American Nightmare. Like, I will jump off a house to elbow someone. Like, he's been
for this business. Balls, yeah.
He's been balls to the wall in AEW. So I expected him to take a crack from Tyson or something. You know what I mean? Maybe not a full punch, like a fake punch, but still, like, it's still scary as shit because it's Mike Tyson. But. Nothing happened at all. It was really awkward. Tyson got awkwardly involved without even being involved. He was just kind of like, it was just too much. What's crazy is Cody's biggest criticism over the last few years is how overbooked his matches are. And I'm like the opposite. I'm like, well, it's old school 80s NWA, it's like his dad, it's fine, it's that whole thing, you know. But tonight was like one of those matches where I had to be like, you're right. Now that everyone likes Cody in the ring, he's like the wrestler of the year so far, right? Like, he's one of the top five. Like, Cody was never wrestler of the year. He was just like a great personality and like good enough to have some good matches, but you loved him. But this year he's worked his ass off. I mean, with the pandemic and all these empty arena matches, he's there every week having great matches and busting his ass. Like, maybe no like crazy 4-star matches or anything, but every week just 3.5, 3.75 like TV matches with no crowd, just being unbelievable, being one of the biggest stars in the sport. And then pay-per-view against big Lance Archer has been built up. And then I don't know, I thought it was good, but it didn't feel like this is when I said it felt like Dynamite.
It was
a main event of Dynamite, which is fine, you know, I love Dynamite, I think it's entertaining, but it was just too overbooked, but it didn't feel like a big pay-per-view match. It came really early, I know, so Rhodes could get in the, you know, he could get in the director's chair, you know, that's what, you know, get the match out of the way so I can, you know, that's part of being the CEO and the booker, right? But I don't know, there's something missing, or there was too much with the
match. 22 minutes, so it wasn't like it was a short match.
Yeah, I don't know.
This whole feud was overbooked. I think there was just too much stuff done with this feud. There was just like the whole thing a few weeks ago with Jake putting that snake on Brandy. First off,
and where was Brandy tonight? She didn't come out for this match. She came out for a different one. So
yeah, she can't. Yeah, it made no sense to me. I'm like,
yeah.
First off, that snake was tiny in the first place. and Jim Ross made a huge thing about, look at how giant that snake is. I'm like, come on, Jim. Yeah. You know that's not a big snake. It's not that big of a deal. And another thing that I've noticed, when you put the snake on someone, if you don't wake them up or they're not awake, it's not as, like, just having to lay there and just having the snake on, it didn't do as much for me.
No.
You know, like, back in the day, you put the snake on him and then wake him up. And then wake up with this thing and be like, ah, flip out. You know, if they did that, this was just overbooked and underplayed and an enjoyable match, but they just tried to do too much with it that didn't need to be done. Yeah. They should have just had a good match.
I definitely, now that they've already worked together already, I'd like to see them do it again and keep it to wrestling. And I think they'll have like a 4-star, 4-Bible match, whatever. I think they can really both work amazing and it'll be great. Cause we didn't see a whole lot, you know, besides the overbooked stuff. Like, we didn't see, it was a lot of, he took a lot of heat. You know what I mean? And it just wasn't, It was. I want to see like something a little more. Okay, Lance is the big guy. He beat down Cody for a little bit. Cody got the win at the end. Blah blah blah. He's pissed, but let's have a little bit of more back and forth, like a two titans clashing. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that we, you know, now that we had that out of the way, but yeah, it was fine. It wasn't horrible. It was good, but
not it was good great. For a spot on the card.
Yep. Three Bibles.
And then we went to this was supposed to be Chris Statlander versus Britt Baker, but Britt Baker got hurt.
Yep.
On Wednesday, so she was replaced with Penelope Ford.
I know, right when Britt was blowing up, like now she's like one of the best villain female wrestlers in the business. Like she started off as the babyface. She wasn't right in the role. Man, she's take, you know, I don't want to say she's taken after because she's doing her own thing, but you know, her man is the top heel in NXT or one of them. And then now she's like the top heel in AEW. So it's pretty dope. Like,
but it's going to be, that's a big loss for them to take because like you said, she was just getting her momentum where she needed to be. And then to have this ACL injury, I mean, she can be
so many good promos. Yeah, so many good promos and segments. It all started when she was ripping on Tony. And then they had some weird flirting going on. It was really a whole weird I don't know. They built their character up so well the last month or two. It's been definitely one of the highlights of Dynamite to not see her tonight. It was, bummy. But thankfully they have Penelope in there to, you know, at least get a decent match out of there. It wasn't
she can totally wrestle horrible. Penelope Ford can wrestle. She looks good. She can fight. She's got the package. She definitely does. And I remember my first time really seeing Penelope Ford was with Joey Janela in Evolve. I was there with my girlfriend, and my girlfriend was like, "This girl's awesome." So you know that tells you something. And Chris Statlander, she's just things I would do to Chris Statlander. We'll leave that for that's a whole nother podcast.
All right then. That's a Skinemax version.
Yeah, seriously.
Stay tuned. It was fine. I didn't think it was bad. I didn't get to see the very end of the match and you told me what happened, but for what I saw, it was, you know, it was average. It was cool. It doesn't belong on a pay-per-view and it never did.
Exactly.
It was supposed to be Britt and Stat and that was super built up and instead maybe they should have just cut it. Do we really need to have 10 matches? I mean, I guess you don't want to just have one female match. I totally get that. You know, you want to include everyone in there. They do have a whole division, so you don't want to just have the title match.
Yeah,
I understand that. The match didn't bother me, but it definitely detracted from the overall score because it wasn't that good. You know what I mean? So,
well, I think the reason they had to do something, my opinion, I think Britt Baker was going to win that match. So now they have to pivot and go in a different direction with it from there. So I feel like you had to have some type of match go on because you were going to have Britt win, which would have led to Britt versus Sheeta. We'll get to that whole thing. But I don't know. I think that messed up a lot of this story. So they just had to throw something together and be like, we're going to get something in here and we'll have Statlander win the match. It would have been amazing if they said, you know what? We're going to put Penelope Ford in that spot because I think that she could pull it off. I think she's someone that if you said, we're going to give you that push now, she could run with it and she could make it work.
Yeah, but they've been built. I wouldn't want Penelope beating Stat here at all. I think that's a bad move. Like, I think Penelope is going to get over no matter what. You need Stat to keep winning until she has that big confrontation, I think.
Fair enough. And they haven't had her win enough, I don't think.
No, especially after that loss when she had a chance. So, yeah, it was fine. I give it 2.25, though. It was just there. It was cool.
Yep. And then from there, we went to
squash.
Dustin Rhodes versus Sean Spears. And, Jesus, I kind of feel bad for Sean Spears. He left WWE because he was just getting buried. To go to where his boys are over in AEW to get buried.
I mean, but he's doing what he's supposed to do. Is he supposed to be any higher than this? No, I mean, they've given him a lot of...
He thought he belonged higher than that. And that was kind of why he wanted to leave.
I don't know. I think honestly, he's happy where he is because he's with his friends. He's getting a lot of TV time. He might be like looking at it like they're giving me a lot of limelight. I'm not like the champion, but look at the roster. Like, he's getting way more run on this show than he was in WWE. So win or lose, true, you need people to lose. And he actually won like 5 or 6 matches on TV in a row. They had him they would do him back to backs with him. They were having him on Dark and Dynamite beating like jobbers just to like give him an edge, build him up. He even had that whole searching for a tag partner thing.
Yeah.
You know, they gave him some comedy tonight. If he's in, you know, he's got the Sean Spears network. So the SSN, we've only seen one of those promos, and it was his delivery was actually really good on it, I thought.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It wasn't like a Dynamite promo, but it was cool to see that side of him. He's been getting a lot of angles. Like, you can't – not everyone can win. It's like,
I love the Tully Blanchard picture on his underwear today. That was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That was – yeah. He's – I guess, you know, if you can – he came out as kind of a badass, but this, like, now with Jon Moxley, Spears can't be that guy anymore. Like, if you notice, Sean Spears was he was the bad version, the evil version of Jon Moxley. Like, he looked like a fucking guy you don't want to fight in a bar and shit, and he was beating the crap out of people. Like, he came out, and him and Cody had, like, right away had, like, a big-time, like, ruthless rivalry. But maybe
– I almost wonder if that botch – when he split Cody's head open, kind of made them pull back on him a little bit.
Yeah, it could have been. Just sitting in a room, like, where do you want to go with your character? We can't. You were like the hitman or whatever of this, like the chairman or whatever.
The chairman. That's what they got.
You can't really do that spot because it got a lot of criticism from, you know, Meltzer and all these guys. We got to run away from that. And now we have Moxley, so we have kind of like the real-life cage-fighting barroom brawler guy, and he's at the top of the company, so we got to go somewhere else. And they found all these little different angles, and they're never the top angles or the top promos of the company, but they're there every week, and they're fine. It's part of the show, and it's mid-card shit, and it's fine. You know, he's got his spot.
Yeah,
like, true. He could be home. He could be home. He's working. He's making his money. He had a match with Goldust, a legend. So, I mean, it's fine. I mean, it was a squash match. But, yeah, I mean, he's on a pay-per-view getting a match. I mean, what is there to complain about? You know, he's doing it.
Yeah, true story. It went 3 minutes and 20 seconds. You didn't give this a Bible score, did you?
I mean, yeah, you could put dud, but I gave it a 1.75.
Fair enough.
Just to get real cute with numbers. But, yeah, it was just an intermediate. It was a comedy break. It also gave some momentum back to Dustin, who hasn't been around for a little while because he's been wondering about, you know, he had that whole, like, possible retirement after getting destroyed by Archer so they could build Archer up in that tournament. So now this is his redemption story. And as we can see, Rhodes has a lot to offer. He's still, you know, even in a squash, he looked really good. So. Good to see Dustin back.
And it was fun. It was fun. Like, that was quick match.
Yeah, it's a shit match, but it's fine. It doesn't really belong pay-per-view caliber, but they're trying to tell a lot of stories and with this limited time that we have, so they have to play these cards, you know.
This is a long card too. It's just like I wasn't expecting this to go to almost midnight.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have liked 9 matches. I would like, you know, I think NXT TakeOver spoil everybody. But I would like to see that model. I mean, even WWE has been trimming their stuff a little bit. I'd like to see AEW maybe go back to the – they love classic wrestling so much. Maybe they should have 3 hours. Half-hour buy-in and 3 hours on the pay-per-view. And maybe 7 matches, 1 buy-in, and then 6 on the card. We don't need 9.
You know what I mean? I mean, you could have dropped this match and you could have dropped the match before it. That's only – 10 minutes that you're taking off the card because it's 8-9 minutes of action plus, and then the build up to it, you're probably saving 15-20 minutes off your card.
Yeah. At the most, you're saving a half hour, but it's a very valuable half hour, and it takes off the length of the show. And it's 2 matches that are squashes or just matches you don't need. It hurts the overall quality. This would have been a superior NXT level pay-per-view, a takeover level pay-per-view if you get rid of those 2 matches. So you brought up a great point. I mean, I'm looking at my Bible scores in the overall, and the overall would have been at least a 4, which is like Wrestle Kingdom level. But you had these two matches that belong on AEW Dark. Never mind.
Pay-per-view.
But we have 3 more matches that were pretty fucking awesome. So we'll talk about those.
Yeah, we had Hikaru Shida taking on Nyla Rose for the Women's Championship. And this one was another one that I think it was given what was going to happen. Like, I was not surprised by the outcome of it. It was no disqualification, no count-out match. Just with that alone, I knew Shida was winning this match. And I was excited Shida was winning this match. They ran with this whole Nyla Rose thing. I'm against it. That's a whole other story. Go watch my podcast any other time. I have plenty of things I've said about Nyla Rose.
If you want the Howard Stern of wrestling, watch the super kicks.
Smart kicks. Is a super kicks. You'll hear me tell you how I really feel about shit. But Hikaru Shida, it was just her time. It was her time to do this. I feel like the Nyla Rose experiment, I don't know what they went wrong with it. To me, I feel like they should have played off more of the hate she was getting online and made her more of a monster like that.
Right.
That's the only way I think that would have went great. Like, play off of that. Play off the fact that.
Well, maybe not tonight because of.
Sure. Not tonight because of what's going on. Yeah, absolutely.
Because of what's going on or even these couple weeks. But, I thought she had great momentum when she beat Riho. And she was cutting some great promos. And then I know she was under quarantine, Nyla, too. She, being the champion, she kind of had to come back, I think, when she didn't want to. And some of the stuff she had on Dynamite wasn't a lot. It was awkward. It was it lost a little of the momentum she had because, some great promos were coming out of this. And I was like, all right, she had a great match with Riho, 2 of them actually, but the last one especially. And this match was just as good. I mean, it was really, really, it blew me away. I don't know. What do you think of the match? Because I looked at reviews online and no one seemed to like this as much as me. I thought it was excellent. At this point, I thought this was the best match of the night.
I thought it was a really good match, but I'm also very biased because Nyla Rose, I look at it as I'm like, that's a guy wrestling, beating up a girl. So as impressive as it is, I was more impressed with Shida because I'm like, wow.
Shida was so good.
I'm like, fighting spirit. She's fighting a guy and she's winning. This is great. Like,
beyond politics, though, Shida, by the way, Shida Lockhart, she was just like Tifa Lockhart from Final Fantasy VII.
Yep.
So she had the skirt eyes. You could see her getup was different and it was the cosplay she had showed, but she got rid of the white top, had the red and black wrestling top, but she still had the leather skirt style wrestling outfit, which was a dope shout out. She's a hardcore gamer. She's been, when she's under quarantine, she's been gaming and streaming and stuff, so that's really cool. She's getting that, she is hitting that market right now, which is super hot, especially with people under quarantine. So as you can see, Asuka's doing that, so it's cool to see Shida do that. But I thought she was tenacious. She had such fighting spirit. Given the weapons, she was able to take down the beast with them, and man, they had some incredible spots in this match. I thought they both busted their ass. Rose took great bumps. They were there. I mean,
they both took some really good bumps. That's the thing. Like, for Shida being like, she's not the biggest woman in the world, and Nyla Rose is big. Like, I don't care who that, like, just going through that table and when she got put through the table, that's going to hurt. Like, yeah. Nyla Rose is big. It's not like it's, you got a little girl just putting you through a table. No, you got put through a table by someone that has the build of a man. Like, that's going to hurt you.
And vice versa too. You know, Rose definitely did some good selling in this as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I take nothing away from Nyla Rose on that side of it. That's just my, opinion on the whole other side of it, and it, like, that is what it is. But
I feel
Nyla Rose goes out there and gives 110% all the time. But you are right that leading up to this, I feel like at least on the promo department, it's been kind of lacking. Like the one-liners that have been dropped just kind of don't do it for me.
Yeah, but they had an excellent four-way match to see who would face Rose 2 weeks ago. And then the tag match that Britt got hurt in was actually pretty good. Was a good build for the pay-per-view for the two women's matches. So overall, yeah, this was an excellent match. I thought it was even slightly better than MJF Jungle Boy. Not work rate wise, but just as a whole, as a, this felt like a big pay-per-view match. It was really the first match of the night that really was like, okay, this is a double or nothing. The stakes are high. They're showing a lot of emotional responses in the crowd. Like, they really set the mood and the tone for the next couple matches to come in. And it, like, really, it felt like, because we had just seen a couple weird, like we just talked about, squat matches that deserved AEW Dark or Dynamite. Like, this felt like, okay, this is a double or nothing. The stakes are high. Big championship match. They gave them time. Really well thought out spots and finish. I'm going to go
16:40.
Okay. Yeah, definitely perfect timing. Not too long for that kind of match, because it is going to drag a little bit when you're outside, but they did such great work with the weapons in the arena and using the crowd. Sheeta definitely used a crowd to her advantage, like getting that build up to take down the Beast. I love the story of the match. So I'm going to go 375-4. I wouldn't go four all the way because it's not such a great worked match, but they definitely did everything else. Emotionally, it was like a 4-star match for me. Like at the end, I was like, yes, you know, like just so happy. And of course, definitely had like the tears, the emotion coming from Sheeta, you know, being a friend of Hana's over.
And I think that added to it, that added to the whole finish of it and added to.
Yeah.
The
thing is,
of that match.
I think this was, they didn't change it because of that, because this was planned and this was the way it was going to go. And that definitely helped and added to it. But yeah, it was just high stakes and they did their thing.
I just want to say real quick, I can understand when you go with that in comparison to the MJF Jungle Boy, because there wasn't a lot of build for that. That just kind of came out of nowhere. This match had that build and had that emotion behind it.
100%.
Next up, we had the AEW Championship match. We get John Moxley defending against Brody Lee. Brody Lee actually had the title because the Dark Order stole it. Brody Lee wasn't the champion going into this. This match was great. It's funny because if we watched this match, if this match was booked in WWE, we wouldn't have cared. You're like, ah, it's giving me Ambrose.
Hold on. Did you see my Facebook post today on this? No. You did it?
No.
Oh, this morning I said, or maybe just hours before the pay-per-view, I was like, Luke Harper versus Dean Ambrose is a house show match no one gives a fuck about.
But I did AEW, see that, actually.
But I was like, in AEW, this could be something special tonight. And then all the WWE marks came out, like, all upset and all that shit. But
you can be upset, but it's true. If you told me Ambrose versus Harper tonight, I would have been like, ah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get a drink when that match comes on.
Yeah, look what happened. Same result as the last match. I mean, as far as, like, except this was not – this was rushed, this whole storyline. Like, they shot with Brody Lee all the way, which I actually liked. Why waste time? Like, we're in a different world right now. We don't have crowds. We don't even know how they're going to respond to Brody Lee. We don't really know, and it doesn't matter. So he's like been such a boss coming in here, literally the boss, like he's Vince McMahon, but with the Luke Harper wrestling skill. And he's, remember when we called it the Dork Order? We don't even call it that anymore. We're like Dark Order. Like they're legit.
He brought new life to that crew. Absolutely.
Yeah. And we don't see the other dudes. I guess they're still cutting really great promos and stuff. And I guess they're under quarantine or whatever. But Yeah, he's held this whole group together on his own, and he's really brought out some up and coming guys with masks on. It's like, I don't know, I kind of dig it now. I kind of like the whole Dark Order thing. It'll be fun. You know, eventually it's going to be Brody Lee versus fucking, what's his name though? Like the other leader. Like it's like Cobra Commander and Destro. Like they're going to butt heads.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because he's just beating up. My one thing is, if I feel like when that happens, the Dark Order is going to go face, which is going to be weird.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. At this point, I wouldn't have Brody Lee going face at all.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's because look at how he treats them. Like, he treats them like Vince McMahon treats them.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'll be the bad guy. They'll turn face on him. And
yeah. But
at that spot when they went through, do you think that they were supposed to go through the ring, through the outside of the ring? Was that set, or was that just a mistake?
Do you mean their own signs? Like the cards, the playing cards, and it had the...
No, when they went through the floor. When they went through the rampway.
Oh, you mean at the end?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I think that wasn't supposed to happen.
I didn't think so. Like, when I was like, that just, like, that looks like that was a mistake. Like, I don't think they were supposed to go through that.
Did you also yell out, holy shift? Sorry, I did. Like, God hates geeks. Holy paradigm shift.
Yeah, it was perfect. Shift.
There was, you know, there wasn't a lot of, it wasn't consistent night of wrestling. We had a lot of ups and downs, but spot wise, man, there was so many fabulous spots tonight. And that was even unintentional or not. I mean, even that the doctor being like, what am I supposed to do?
And yeah, that's what made me really think of, because everyone looked like, holy shit, what do we do? Are these guys dead right now? Oh shit, this isn't good.
I bet you it was supposed to happen. They just sold the fuck out of it. You know what I mean? Like, everybody was in on it. Like, probably.
Shades of Taz and Bam Bam Bigelow. That's all I thought of when I saw that. I was like, wow, this is Taz, Bam Bam Bigelow, ECW.
It was tremendous. Yeah. What did you think of that? What would you give this Bible score for this match? I'm going to ask you. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Put me on the spot on this one. This was a great match. I know I said that MJF Jungle Boy was my favorite match of the night. But I mean,
yeah, you can have a favorite and you can have the greatest. Like, there's always that option. Whatever your favorite doesn't necessarily mean the best.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think this match, but just because there was, even though it was a fast build, there was so much to it. And also, I've never been an Ambrose fan. He might have turned me tonight with this.
Uh-oh.
Like, Mox looked really good in this. He wasn't...
I got something for you. I'll be right back.
Uh-oh. So, I want to say it while he's away. Mox wasn't the overseller. You guys hear me all the time talking about him.
I got a gift for you. I'm going to send this. You have to wear this for the rest of your quarantine now because of what you just said.
But anyway, he wasn't the overselling, overacting, annoying guy that I'm used to seeing. Like, he came out there and he did what he was supposed to do. He didn't oversell everything, although they might have oversold that fall through the floor, but I still didn't even think it was oversold. I think maybe it's because of who he was paired with and how the match played out, but I think that they really did a really good job. I'd give this one, I'm going to say 4.25.
Nice. I like it.
What would you give this one?
I'm going to go straight four. It was a great, great main event. You know, I mean, because the next match is like an additional thing.
Yeah,
but as far as wrestling matches, this was the main event or co-main event. And it was wonderful. I thought it was really good. They were like building up the match during the match. Like, yeah. They didn't have time to build up the match, so they did it during the match all over the arena. They were talking shit because we don't. That's one of the benefits of not having an audience is. You can hear the wrestlers more in their conversations, and it's more personal. So the shit they were talking, like, just the images we saw of like the cards like going around the ring. Like, think about, they could have done that every week on Dynamite for 3 weeks. They did that around the ring before they got in the ring and had a match. So I thought they, yeah, I mean, dude, they built up the match in the match because they had to. I just thought they did what they had to do, and they
to make it big. Like, they made that match bigger than it would have been right then and there, which was great. Mm-hmm. And like I said,
yeah,
I give it the extra points just because I normally don't like anything that Moxley does, and I enjoyed this. I really did. Yep. Enjoy
and
it.
I also thought Brody Lee had a chance to win the championship because in the short time he's been there, he's been like elevated so high, and I wouldn't have been surprised if he had won, especially because we saw Cody win. We saw Sheeta win. So I was like, okay, that's a lot of baby faces getting the wins tonight. So yeah. Brody Lee, they're going to run with this dude. Like, he's been great killing people. He's a monster. He's the Dark Order. And then now they're totally – Moxley's their Steve Austin, whether you like it or not. He's their Stone Cold Steve Austin. He might not be as great or as, you know, the personality that Steve – but he is their Stone Cold right now until they get their Kenny Omega back. You know, their Kenny.
I think Brian Cage is gonna take the title from him, man.
Oh really?
I think so.
You Impact Mark.
No, I think it just I don't know. I feel like with Taz in this corner, it's just something surprising to do. Throw it on Brian Cage, the big guy, and then
That's a hot shot if I've ever heard one.
but it's the classic, put the title back on a heel and have a face chase him.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just the business. It's especially old school. The old school. That's what would always happen. Your face would get the title for a little bit, and then they put it back on a heel, and then it's a face chasing the heel to get the title. It's a better story.
Moxie's had a good run. Moxie's had a great run, actually. Yeah. A really great run under the circumstances. He's beating a lot of – he's 11-0 he's 12-0 or something this year. So he's he's doing his thing. So
he could drop it to Cage and then still come back, chase him for a little bit, and then get it back.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's really fast for Cage, so.
Who else? They don't have any really big heels right now, other than Brody Lee.
Well, yeah, because MJF got a big win too.
True, so, he's another guy that could be in that picture. So.
Yeah, the picture is really good. The title picture is excellent. That's why they had to do the TNT title, because the main event title picture, like, Omega's not even in it. Like, that's how crazy it is. So
yeah,
they had to get the other title, and they're doing a good job with both right now. So we'll see.
But what Omega was in was this stadium stampede match tonight.
As you can see in my background, Gillette. Our home away from home.
So. I can't wait to go back to Gillette again, man.
Yeah, you'll be able to go for free now.
Right, seriously.
Like, nobody can. You'll be $20 for fifth row. But like the old Schaefer Stadium.
Right, seriously. Oh man, but this match was great. This is the benefit of having Tony Khan as the money behind AEW, because it's not like you have to go find a place to do this. WWE has the Performance Center. Well, Tony Khan owns the Jacksonville Jaguars, so they have a football stadium.
Yeah, but you don't have a Titan Tower.
Good shit.
That was a fun match. We don't have to talk Money in the Bank, but I liked it.
I didn't.
I liked
it. I told you I didn't.
A lot of people hated it. I liked it. I was entertained because, I mean, some of the people that were there entertained me. I love Asuka. I love AJ. So, like, in
fair.
And some of the people that you don't care about did some cool stuff. Like, Corbin was the boss that night. Like, otherwise, he sucks. But, like, that night, he owned shit. But anyway, like, I like that. I fucking loved this.
Yes, I agree with you. I absolutely loved this. This was amazing. I hate Sammy Guevara. I love that they know that everybody hates Sammy Guevara, and they and they play off of it, and they make him be that guy that everybody hates, even though he's getting that spot heat.
He is tremendous. This guy,
I hate him. I don't think he's good at all.
We you're out of your fucking mind. We talked about Jungle Boy and MJF improving, but man, from seeing this guy at PWG to, I mean, he always had the same ability. He's not doing anything different, but just under the demise of Jericho, man, he's putting it together. Like he's supposed to be that annoying, self-egotistical, like millennial, like he's supposed to be who he is. And the fact you hate him, X-Pac, he's doing his damn job. He's out there. He's like, I don't know, man. He's killing it. He's killing it right now.
Yeah, I'll never get behind him. I hate his look. I hate the little. You don't even look tough when you do that. You look gay, man. Stop it.
You know what?
What are you talking in your mouth, guy?
The reaction you're giving him is what he's supposed to get. And he's doing his thing. He's supposed to get that reaction. You're not supposed to like anything he's doing. He's supposed to be a pest.
Fair enough. Well, he does a really good job of being a pest. If that's what he's trying to do, then he's doing a really good job at it. Because I cannot stand him.
He's Prince Pest. He's the Prince Pest.
Okay,
he is such a pest, but man, he was all over that. Dude, this was like the Sammy Guevara spotlight. Like, I don't know. I thought he was all over the place, man. He's busting his tail, literally. He's taking some career-ending bumps.
He does take some crazy bumps. Like,
dude, I saw him jump off the fucking balcony at PWG, okay?
Really?
Like, yeah, he doesn't fuck around. Like he's almost hit his head on the chandelier, the lamp chandelier at PWG millions of times. Like
no shit.
Yeah, zero no fear, man.
That he's spot that he took at the end of that match was amazing. I mean, when he got run over by the freaking golf cart a few weeks back, that was great.
Dude, he almost got run over by a horse.
Right, that was amazing.
Dude, he almost got hit by a horse. Come on. This guy's got they're throwing him into the fire. They're like, all right, you want to have Jericho be your fucking, like, little, you know, your fucking big boss that's giving you the push? We're going to put you through fucking hell in exchange. And he's like, all right, fine. And he's, I give him a lot of credit.
If you're him, can you complain? I mean, you're in the main event. You're in the spotlight. Every week you're in the spotlight and in a main event picture against – the top face group in the company. You can't complain. You take those bumps, you take those hits. But this match was amazing. Let's not just for what Guevara put himself through. This whole match, like even the comedy spots in it, I thought it was amazing.
Ten guys.
The whole thing where they in the pool. Where they drowned Matt Hardy and he came back with like three different versions of Matt Hardy.
Dude, so cool. So well thought. Like, all right, everything that Matt wanted to do in WWE, he's doing now. Yeah. Like, and did you see him without a shirt? Like, he looks pretty good, right? I mean, he looked like old and just dead in WWE, like lower mid card. He had like a cute tag team run with Bray, and they had the whole thing going because they were crazy. And they had a couple outdoor matches that never really took off, but everything he had planned to do as Woken Matt Hardy, he's doing as Broken 2.0 in AEW. And dude, he looks great athletically, his personality. Like, I almost posted tonight, like, thank you, Matt. We needed this tonight. I talk big about Sammy, but Matt, his personality, being able to stay there, right? He's not doing athletic shit right now, but being able to stay there and be in the right spot with all these guys, like the amazing LAX and everything, like, dude, we needed Matt's performance tonight. Matt Jackson, too. Both Matts. But, yeah, Matt Hardy, man, I'm telling you, that guy's a legend tonight. It was a legendary performance tonight.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. And it's just amazing to see him doing that when it looked like he was, like you said, in WWE, it looks like he was just dying and finished. Like, all right, I'm going to get this run done and I'm done.
Dude, it looked like he could walk. He retired from the ring. He needed a break. Yep. And he's back, and he's as good as he's been in the last couple years, man.
Yep, yep, absolutely. Not doing the high-flying crazy stuff that he was doing before, but
no.
He's a great storyteller.
Dude.
When you're a good storyteller in the ring, you don't have to do all that other crazy stuff because you can – the fans will get behind you without doing all that crazy shit because you can tell a story and you can – and mm-hmm. his character, like his character work is amazing. The few people are as good as he is.
Great is it that he, like, became a member of the Elite without even becoming a member of the Elite? Like, it just happened.
Yeah.
Like, they never did anything formal. Like, he literally just was thrown in there because Hangman wasn't around. So he had to – Kenny had to defend his titles and needed a partner. And Matt Hardy had beef with Jericho on TV. So he made sense, and now he's just, like, in the Elite. We always thought he was going to be, like, the leader of the Dark Order when they did the whole, like, they were kind of teasing us, Chris Daniels, and we're like, oh, watch it be Matt. And then he was, like, Brody Lee out of nowhere. But Matt is, like, perfect for the Elite because he's, like, that kind of like the Marty Scurll role in a way. Like, more of the comedy wrestling, like, rather than – you know, some leadership in there rather than like, cause you can see Matt and Nick and Kenny and Hangman, they can do all that crazy shit that we saw in this match. And Matt is like that solid rock spirit, like legendary personality. And he's fitting right in without even being like a member. I don't, maybe he's not even a member. He's the delete of the Elite, but it's working.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a question for you. Do you think that Matt really suplexed Sammy Guevara all 100 yards? Or do you think they stopped and then went back and like moved up the field a little bit and then?
Do you want a kayfabe answer or a real answer?
I want a real answer.
You don't want a kayfabe? Hey, kayfabe, I can't believe he did that. No, this match was already – it wasn't live. Like that the pay-per-view was live, and then when this happened, this was taped.
Okay. I guess that
this
makes sense.
This wasn't live in the – all that – you know what? They did – the production team and, like, the crowd people and the announcers, man, they're the MVPs tonight, man. I'm telling you, they – without – having a crowd, they made this feel like a pay-per-view. We weren't getting the real pay-per-view matches in the ring early on, and then in the middle we had that weird stuff, but the presentation was so great. I really liked, I want to say all this stuff even before we get to the Bible scores because I don't want to forget, but man, how relaxed was Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur, a three-man booth, super relaxed. They hardly ever talked over each other or interfered. I'm doing my best not to talk about the other company, or even AEW's had problems with this in the three-man booth, but three color commentators. Like, they don't even have there's not even one, like, analyst. Like, they're all... I mean, not three color commentators, like three announcers. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
like no color commentators. Like Tony always called the action in the ring, as we saw with Jericho. Jim Ross, the most legendary announcer of all time, and Excalibur has announced matches by himself. He's like the Joey Styles. Like he might have Chuck E. T. with him or like Chris Hero from back in the day or whatever, Roddy Strong. But he always called Chip. You have three announcers together, and they sounded – people will have their opinions about them. It's fine, but they sounded so relaxed. Like,
I think I had one tope suicida tonight too, so I'm glad he's cutting back on that because that irks me.
Yeah, but they were tremendous. But, yeah, tell me – getting back to the Stadium Stampede, tell me this felt live.
Yeah, it did. Absolutely felt live.
So when you're watching those, and they were some of them were really amazing, but like I thought Money in the Bank did a great job with their editing. It didn't, even though we know it was pre-taped. The whole thing was pre-taped because they said it was. They didn't hide it. They did a good job with the editing. I didn't think it looked too much like the editing in the Ciampa Gargano match bothered me. Like, that was way over with the music. It was way overdone. This felt like a live match. They had the when you're wrestling someone, they had the jump cameras that you use live. Like, they used a lot of live aspects. They didn't record it like it was taped. They recorded it like it was live. And then,
yeah, they didn't record it like they were trying to put together a skit or a movie. They recorded it like they were just recording a regular wrestling match.
But it was
like clearly, if you were recording Dark. Same idea.
Yeah. Yep. It was definitely obviously recorded because you had Matt Hardy's three personalities is underwater. Like, you can't do that live. Like, with the diagram next to it, and like, that was really neat. And some people are like, oh, that was too goofy. It's like, it's Matt Hardy's personality. Like, if you think it's too goofy, you're just not. Why are you watching this match? Because,
yeah, why are you watching Matt Hardy? Because that's
called, why are you watching the match? It's called the Stadium Stampede. That's not New Japan wrestling match. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not even a Monday Night Raw match. It's just a bizarre fucking thing. And I thought it was memorable. Like, the bar fight, how genius was that? Like,
that was so funny.
Jake Hager showed more personality in those 5 minutes at the bar with Hangman than he did in his whole WWF run. Like, no, I'm just talking shit, but like, you know, he was tremendous. He was like, I think Hager was supposed to be like that really big guy, but then they kept having like, who's it? MJF's manager?
And Wardlow.
Then they had, was it?
Wardlow,
and then you got Archer, you got Brody Lee, and now Cage, and it's tough to be the big guy when you got those guys. But man, the way he beat the living crap out of Hangman Page, who's a legit, like, boy, he's not legit shoot, but he's legit on the show, like a barroom brawler. Like, he's a like a cowboy, essentially, and he's a drinker, and is his angle. And you had you have the legit shoot guy beat the crap out of him in this barroom brawl. And I thought it was just genius. Like, I don't even,
it was funny in that other wrestling group I'm in, like, people were like, oh, Sean's going to hate this match. I was like, what are you talking about? This match is fucking amazing. Like, what do you mean? Why would I hate this match? Look, oh, you don't like comedy wrestling? I'm like, no. Comedy wrestling has a spot. And this whole match, it wasn't a full match of comedy wrestling.
It felt like a fight. It went 34 minutes.
And it had funny spots.
Right. It felt like a real 45-minute just crazy fight all over this football stadium. But they had so many personality quirks in there, like LAX, like Ortiz, I can't swim, and it's like 3 feet of water in this kiddie pool, like this little like bar pool. They showed everyone's personality, and that's pro wrestling. We grew up with the Honky Tonk Man and Jake the Snake and Rick Rude, all these weird characters, man. We didn't
Duke the Dumpster, like, Drosy. Shout out to Duke the Dumpster Drosy subscribes to my channel. So I gotta give a shout out to Duke.
Shout out to Duke.
Mike Drosy. Shout out.
The Dumpster. We love you, man. But yeah, man, we grew up with personalities, and we also grew up with amazing wrestling with the Ric Flairs and Randy Savages and Ricky Steamboat. So when you combine the two, you have the characters and the wrestling. Like, what is better than that? What is better than entertaining us? But look at when Jericho and Nick Jackson were wrestling on the football field. They were doing all kind of wrestling moves to each other, and then they were still hitting each other with, like, the chain gang fucking thing. And he goes, oh, that'll move the chains. And, like, dude, but, like, even when you're beating – they were beating the hell out of each other, the holy hell of each other, I was laughing. Like, I wasn't supposed to laugh. He just got fucking rock bottomed on a pool table, and it looked like it broke his back, like Mortal Kombat. But it's funny. Like, it's just, they had the perfect mesh. It was almost like Mortal Kombat humor, like really violent, but funny. Like, it's kind of supposed to be funny and not kind of not. It was just, I don't know, it was almost perfection for me. It was great.
No, I agree with you. I think they did a great, great job with that match. I'm interested to see where they go after this, because, I mean, like, we still have that War Games match with blood and guts to come. at some point. They're saying they're holding that off until after everything opens back up and we got fans again. So yeah. As amazing as this was, I can't wait to see what they do with Blood and Guts.
Oh, no, absolutely. That's a good setup for it, for sure. Maybe a All Out.
Which was that what they just announced? September 5th is going to be All Out? I heard that they announced that tonight.
Yeah, so, but it didn't say Chicago because of what's going on. It didn't say where it was, right?
No, they didn't say where it was. But they also
because it will be in Chicago if it's allowed, but likely it probably won't, you know.
They also announced Fyter Fest is going to happen. And that's,
oh, yeah. I don't know if that's going to happen.
They announced it that's when I got it right here. Brian Cage will get his title match against Jon Moxley at Fyter Fest. No, more details will be announced on Dynamite Wednesday. So
there's no way they change the title at Fyter Fest.
You're probably right.
I mean, what is AEW? They might.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I don't think they will. But it'll be a hell of a main event. That's for sure. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. This match was wonderful. We could talk about it for another half hour, but we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah, because people are going to be like, holy shit, this is long. No, but great night of action. What was your overall Bible score for the show?
Oh, well, you know, for this match in particular, it's one of those ones that I see. I was looking at some blogs right before we went on, and people were scared to review it, but I'm not scared to review these matches. Man, I have to give it like a 4.75-5. It was like,
yeah, I'll agree with that.
Just, I don't want to not give it a rating because it's not a dud. It's it wasn't a squash match. It was like
a 45-minute thing. It wasn't like it was just like some, it wasn't buried a lot. It wasn't the cemetery match.
I even gave that a Bible score. That was like 10 Bibles. Yeah, but
I gave it all the Bibles.
yeah. And then the Cena with the funhouse, I thought that was like mind-blowing. I thought that was amazing. But yeah, this was great. 4.75-5. I mean, yeah, it's not a 4.75-5 Okada versus Naito or Bushi. It's a different thing, but against it, just so much creativity. Lots of fun fighting and wrestling, and everyone's personality came out. I have to give it this amazing score. It was a groundbreaking, like, to put with everything that's going on right now in the world, they put so much thought into this thing. Like, it was meticulous. Like, there was nothing wasted in this. Everything led to something in that football arena. You know what I mean? And it was definitely the best game that's ever been played in the TIAA Bank Field. So they've never seen action like that at that football stadium. I can tell you that.
Yeah, but you're right. They used everything, like even Matt jumping off the goalposts.
Oh, Matt Jackson. Oh, my God, with his taped up ribs and everything. Yeah, we could, like I said, we can go on and on. It was I'm not going to forget this one. We really needed this match.
Yeah, absolutely. This whole show. We needed this whole show. You know, even with the lulls in the middle that we had, this whole show was just kind of a bright spot at the end of a very, very dark week. And yeah, I think we really needed it.
Absolutely.
So what do you give this the overall show now?
All right. So how I do pay-per-views, how I've been doing pay-per-views for a while, I would say at least a year now, I do an entertainment scale as well as matches, because I realize that when you just do matches, you're cutting off the entertainment part of wrestling, which is WWF is not federation anymore. It's entertainment. And yeah, I mean, entertainment is beyond just WWF as well. WWE as well. I mean, AEW loves to entertain, Impact loves to entertain, New Japan loves to entertain. We all need our entertainment. We need our comedy. We need our promos, our skits, we need everything besides just work rate. I know some people just love work rate. That's fine. But you get tired of that after a while. And that's why I loved WrestleMania. Those two big matches at WrestleMania. I mean, WrestleMania as a whole was whatever, but the two matches that we mentioned, the Flyhouse and the Cemetery Gates match, were like, those were tremendous. That's the stuff we needed. Like, maybe I just grew up in a certain era where I appreciate the goofiness as much as the work rate. And this one had both. So entertainment wise, I'm going to go like 4.25 out of 5. Just because of the presentation. The presentation is also important too, because you could have two guys out there in an empty arena. And as we see how important presentation is, like, watch NXT every week. They have the best wrestlers in the world in NXT. And some of that shit's boring as hell. No one in the crowd at all. Like, I watched NXT this week and I enjoyed it. But last week I almost stopped with that empty arena. Like,
yep.
And they have voiceover commentary with announcers announcing over each other. You're doing voiceovers. How are you interrupting each other during voiceovers? Like, you're editing. Like, how is Moro cutting off Beth? And I don't understand the presentation that they're doing. It's rushed. It's all it is. It's rushed. Yeah. They're saving a nickel and a penny. On this show, they didn't. It was well thought out. Everything was meticulously planned. That starts at the top with Tony Khan and go works its way down to Cody and Kenny and the Young Bucks and all the way down. And everyone follows suit. They love working for this business, and it shows. Entertainment, 4.25. Matches, whatever, 3.25 or whatever it was, 3.5, because we had two or three matches that belonged on Dark. They didn't belong here. The match, yeah. You know, there was two matches that definitely didn't belong here, and it hurt the overall pay-per-view as far as wrestling. But if you combine the two, I'll give it a very solid 3.5. We need a very good pay-per-view. And that's what it was. It was very good. It had a lot of great wrestling, especially towards the end. It had a super entertaining main event. And it showcased a lot of young guys coming up in the system. And the presentation was top-notch. So 3.5 is actually sounds really low for how excited I am for the show. But I have to admit, there was a lot of wrestling here that was stagnant. They could definitely they maybe go over some things and say, you know, maybe we don't need 10 matches a night. There are criticisms here.
Yeah, maybe we don't need to go 4 hours. Maybe we.
Yeah, you don't need to go 4 hours.
Counting the buy-in. Yeah. Maybe we go 3 hours with a half-hour buy-in, and we still accomplish what we need to accomplish.
Yeah, yeah. I know you want to get everyone that has a name on the pay-per-view because that's a WWF thing, but I don't – like, I love Dustin. I think Sean Spears has been putting in work, but we didn't need that match here. Chris Statlander is being built up, but she's on the main event. Why pay-per-view should just be – you know, main event or number one contender or, you know.
Hey, so here's the other thing I think. I think they need to have either another show, maybe like a Saturday night's main event that happens once in a while, or kind of like a Clash of the Champions type thing.
100%.
Where it's not a real pay-per-view, but you can put these guys. So it's not like there's nowhere for them to go because their pay-per-views are so far apart. It's not like WWE where you get a pay-per-view every month. So you can have another show that's not a big pay-per-view. It's something you throw on TV. Even if you do it just on a regular Dynamite, you say this like Impact does. This Dynamite's going to be whatever this special is, and you have a special show, and you can have those bigger matches that are bigger, that are supposed to be bigger than a regular show, but aren't big enough to be a pay-per-view show.
For instance, I'm going to jump on your point because it's 100% true. Imagine we get a show like that on a Saturday night and you have your young guys in there, you know what I mean? Your up and coming guys, maybe even a couple squashes or a couple quick matches. And then you have Staten Ford, you have Dustin and Dillinger or Spears, and you have the main event. You have Cody versus Archer for the TNT championship. That's your little side, your television pay-per-view, your Clash of Champions Saturday night main event. And that's a tremendous show because then the others, remember that squash, we can actually see a full match with Dustin and Spears. We can, Statlander and Ford will mean more because it's not just thrown in there to have another woman match. You're actually, it's the woman match on the show. Give it, you know, even if it's the same amount of time, they're going to get more spotlight. Maybe they'll work the match a little, they'll be able to practice it a little more. And then, you'd have a, I think Cody and Archer in the, you know, Cody loves a main event. He's a main eventer everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
You're giving him a third match and he's working the show behind the boards. He doesn't have to be on Double or Nothing. He can come out and maybe tease a run in or something, but he can stay in the production chair instead of having to work a match. because that definitely affects his pay-per-view matches. You know what I mean? So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. But otherwise, you know, throwing that aside, this was a real fun night. And it was definitely needed in a hurtful week in pro wrestling.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. And this was needed. This was fun. I enjoyed doing this. We'll have to do this more for future pay-per-views. I know you've been kind of like straying away from the WWE pay-per-views. But whenever there's a pay-per-view, New Japan too, I'm going to have to start getting on my New Japan, and we'll have to get on here and do some New Japan reviews and break some stuff down.
Yeah, I'm down. I mean, I'm always down for a SummerSlam or Royal Rumble or Survivor Series. I won't miss those. Yep, so that's for sure. But
we're going to see what's going to go on with SummerSlam. That's like still in the air right now. As of right now, it's still going on in Boston, according to Boston. Tickets go on sale June 1st. So we'll see what happens. They're selling tickets for TakeOver.
Yeah.
Or no, they're selling package tickets.
Isn't there a TakeOver coming up soon?
TakeOver's that whole weekend. It's supposed to be Friday. SmackDown is Friday night in the Garden. TakeOver is Saturday night in the Garden. SummerSlam Sunday night in the Garden, and then Raw Monday night in the Garden. Wow. They're selling 4-night packages right now. You can't buy tickets to each show specifically, but you can buy 4-night packages where you get a ticket to like every show.
Yeah, let's be around a bunch of people 4 nights in a row during the pandemic. That sounds amazing.
That's why I'm waiting to see what happens. So
during that, if we, you know, let's do this again that weekend. We'll have a lot to talk about.
Absolutely. Before we get out of here, anything else, anything you want to say before we wrap this thing up?
That's it. Be nice to each other. It's a tough time out there, you know. We're all dicks online sometimes. I love being one, but right now is not the best time to get under people's skin. There's a lot of people going through all the hard times. People that are working, people that are out of work. You know, you've heard this from everybody else. You don't need to hear it from me. I love talking about Star Wars and Gundam and wrestling. I don't need to talk about this, but you know, it's starting to affect those things as well.
Yeah.
So it's starting to take away from my love of the arts and entertainment because of everything that's going on too. So let's just show some solidarity. You know what I mean? So that's absolutely it. Peace and love at Trab Moody on Instagram, at Trab Moody on Twitter. And of course, GodHatesGeeks.com. We're still updating throughout the quarantine. Lots of great articles. If you love Star Wars, I'm doing a lot of stuff with that, figures, and we got James Bond articles every week, classic James Bond. Still staying on top of all the movie, TV, comic, video game reviews. We got the Geekdom game cast. So yeah, man, that's all. It's we're still dope. We did our Final Fantasy VII Zoom last night, so that should be going up on the website as soon as you see this. So yeah, man, that's it. A lot of just staying busy.
Well, there you go. And I'm just going to say, don't be a heel. Fuck off already. Just be nice to people, man. That's all you got to do. Great night of action. Great night chilling here with Travis. Until next time, I'm Sean Puff. That's Travis Moody. And this was a Smart Side Review. Peace out. Big ups, Boston.